Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're going to talk a little Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness feedback. So join us, won't you? All that Earth is dead, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, let's talk about some Multiverse of Madness. How about it?
I could talk about Multiverse of Madness all day with you, Matt. And it's Monday. How many M's?
So many M's. Alliteration of the multiverse. All right. Well, let's go for it. Xylon on Gmail says, "Good day from Melbourne team."
Good day, mate. No good.
It's great. It was perfect. This is a very loose thought I had while listening to your latest DS Mom feedback episode. I began thinking about Wong and his key franchise being Doctor Strange. His appearance in Shang-Chi makes me think that Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings may next appear in a Doctor Strange property. The post-credit scene alluded to the rings being a beacon and sending a message to somewhere unknown. Could the rings be linked to other universes? This is where my idea ends. I hope it may spark some ideas / theories in you guys. Love your work, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Xylon.
So, remind me. Mm-hmm. The rings were activated at the end, or were they always sending out some kind of beacon?
Right. No, they weren't always, because that's why Wong shows up, right? Some sort of beacon has started, and Wong shows up and he's like, we need you to come with us. And he like takes some, so I'm assuming it is a recent thing.
Yeah.
Unless like it took Wong becoming Sorcerer Supreme before somebody noticed, because Strange sucks at his job.
He just was trying to fix his hands. He didn't ask for all this.
I think it probably had something to do with what happened at the end of Shang-Chi. So this kind of goes with the theory we talked about last episode, I think, with the we talked about the idea that this like Chthon might be trying to set all this up, you know? And if that's the case, if it's Chthon or whoever, some sort of Lovecraftian monster from the multiverse is trying to set all of this in motion, maybe that whole Shang-Chi thing is related. Like that monster that's trying to get through that gateway, like maybe that is it trying to break into that universe and in turn our universe. Maybe that's all part of whatever Chthon's plan is.
Yeah.
Maybe when that failed and they no longer had the inside man of Shang-Chi's father, maybe the rings were like, hey, someone else needs to come take us.
Get us. He's too pure.
Yeah. We can't corrupt this guy.
We want to be blue, not yellow.
We've been working on this for thousands of years. Now this guy's gonna be all good. Psh. That's the best guess. Or maybe whatever they did to kill that creature, the dragon, as they said.
I just hope to God it has something to do with the Eternals, because they got to link them into something somehow, and it would make sense for that to be a Hephaestus kind of, or Faustus. Is it Hephaestus or Faustus? I can't remember.
Faustus.
That.
What was the deal with, what did the pop singer say at the end? Thanos' brother?
Star Fox?
Yeah, what did he do at the end? I'm forgetting why he said he was arriving to talk to them.
He didn't really, right? I watched it the one time. No, I think he just came in and, like, smiled.
Basically. His like helper or whatever like announces him, and then he just walks in the room. I don't remember him really saying, like, why he's there. So that's, I think, the question. Like,
that's cool. I'd like that.
Yeah. You know, we were talking in yesterday's episode, or the other episode before we recorded this one, about Kevin Feige and what he's working on. And they talked about the bigger picture. Like, I'm working on the bigger picture. What is the bigger picture of Marvel right now? Like, I legitimately do not know what the bigger picture is.
Fantastic Four? Galactus? I don't know.
I love that. Fantastic Four? Like, because we have freaking secret invasion happening. We have multiverse incursions happening. We have the Eternals off in space dealing with that sort of whatever galactic threats. What in the world, where are they going with all of this? Like, what is it leading to? It felt like everything in phase 1, 2, and 3 led towards Thanos' big event, you know?
Yeah.
But all the things, all these sort of Easter eggs they're dropping at the end of the movies don't, and TV shows don't seem to be leading towards the same thing. They all seem to sort of be hanging, and maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're heading toward 3 or 4 things at once, but it's just kind of crazy.
I wonder if it's just like too much messing with the multiverse and stuff like that, because the Avengers messed everything up by jumping around in time, but they're like, no, they were supposed to do that. But like, were they? I don't know. It just seems like the effects. I love that it's the effects of what happened with that. I would have honestly liked it more if they were like, oh, they weren't supposed to do that and they really messed stuff up. But then we have it being Kang and we don't know where that's going. And it's weird to think that like Doctor Strange isn't going to have Loki and Sylvie and Kang in it and Wanda. Like if it doesn't, maybe it will. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like it. But you would just think that all of these things, you know, having problems in the same kind of place would meet up. But is the multiverse the same thing as the timeline stuff? No, it's not. I think I talked myself into a hole.
That happens. That happens. I'm sorry. I should have stepped in.
Sorry.
No, Deason. That's a podcaster. It happens to all of us. Like we like talk to where we're like, wait, what, where am I going?
Yeah.
But no, love it. I love it. But no, that is the thing. Like, that's what I'm getting at. There's just, all these stories seem very different. Like they're very different ideas. The space stuff, the dimensional stuff that, you know, Doctor Strange dealt with in the first one and the multiverse stuff. And it all, and the aliens, and it just all sort of seems like it's heading in different directions. Not to mention, you've got like Fatuus and Black Widow dealing with these very like human stories, you know, like we're still just like, we're dealing with like political intrigue, and it's like, what does that have a role in the multiverse? Like it doesn't. And that's the idea. It's Marvel Comics. It can be everything all at once.
Yeah.
I just don't know where we're going. I don't know who the next Thanos is.
It's gotta be Galactus, right? It's gotta be. Or Kang. Do you think they're going to double it down and have it be Kang or Wanda?
I do think Kang is the most likely, but they're introducing him so much differently.
I remember in the comics when Wanda loses her mind, it's Jean Grey is the only person who was able to kind of go in and fix everything that was going on. And like, that would be a really interesting way to bring in, like, say Wanda becomes like the big bad of the next couple of movies. She kills Kang. She kills Sylvie. She like is like, I'm in control now. And then that's when they have to bring in, you know, the brains, you know, the Charles Xavier and the Jean Greys.
You just made me realize a scene that I didn't know I needed that now I feel like is absolutely in this movie, where Charles Xavier feels the pain of Scarlet Witch.
I just got the chills.
Me too. Me too. That's why I was like, oh, you just led me right to that. Like, she has had all this loss, all this pain. She's got all this power and this, I mean, and this is the comic story of House of M. It's like this character who can change reality, and she's so broken by loss that like you can't trust her with her power. And it's like Xavier tries to control her. That's what House of M is about.
Yeah.
I absolutely see, you know, she comes to the council or whatever. There's got to be a moment where Charles like looks into her mind and sees her pain, and that's going to be, I just can't imagine, that scene's going to be good. It seems to be really good.
It's almost like X3 The Last Stand was just the House of M story, but they made it Dark Phoenix.
It definitely is. I almost, if this Xavier is the same Xavier from that universe, which who knows, if it is, I will need, if they have even a thought in this movie where the Illuminati is trying to like control Wanda because she's powerful, basically, Mm-hmm. If there's a moment like that in this movie, I kind of need that Xavier to be on the other side of that issue. Like, I need him to have learned his lesson.
No.
Like, don't do that. Yeah. I've been there. I've tried to control.
I was pixelated.
Yeah, so sad.
I cry. I almost got up and left. I'm not even, like, when that happened in The Last Stand, I was very upset. And I was like, what are we doing here? Yeah. What is this?
Oh, man. Well, let's see here. What have we got? Next up, we have Michael White on Gmail. He says, "Hey, guys and gals. I was listening to your mom feedback, and it got me thinking about a crazy theory. What if Patrick Stewart is actually the Watcher? Ooh. Hmm. Maybe as a Nexus version of Charles Xavier, who ascended to that position. Perhaps he found a way to enhance his physical ability without the use of Cerebro, and or he was searching for mutants and found mutants in another universe that led him down that path. The Illuminati panel could actually be the heroes that the Watcher brought together in What If?" Ooh.
That'd be fun.
"Now that they know about the multiverse and feel they need to protect it, it could tie into What If Ultron 1 episode, which could have happened back when Avengers 2 took place, but in the multiverse outside of our known MCU. Love the podcast, guys. Michael White."
Hmm.
Thanks, Michael. I think that it is likely that he may function kind of like the Watcher in this episode, in that he's part of this multiverse council who's watching and trying to do things. But the thing about the Watcher, at least in What If, and you reference it, so you know that, like, the Watcher in that version is like this guy who watches. That's the thing about the Watcher. It's his whole name. He doesn't get involved.
I don't think that they would get Patrick Stewart to play the Watcher. They would get Jeffrey Wright, you know, or somebody. Like, we've already established who he was. What if all of the reshoots weren't because the movie wasn't faring well? It was because of the What If episodes.
It's possible.
And they were like, we have to tie this in now.
They do major reshoots on every Marvel movie, though.
Yeah. For sure.
I don't think there even necessarily needs to be a reason. Actually, there was a quote from Benedict Cumberbatch this week saying, like, that they did a lot of reshoots, but it was just like, there were certain things that, like, they literally couldn't get on the day because of COVID, and there were certain things that they just decided to change, like little scenes they wanted to change a little bit. Like, I think that these reshoots, while they say they did do a lot of reshoots, that's just something they do on every Marvel movie. They literally schedule it out. Yeah, I think so too. And with COVID, that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Trying to film a movie in that day and age.
I really want to know about that, about the What If stuff. Like, I really want somebody to tell me what happened there, whether all of it was connected from the beginning or whether that article was true about Sam Raimi being like, what the, you know.
Right.
How could you do that? But I feel like that wouldn't happen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, apparently something happened. It wasn't Sam Raimi. It was something else that they decided to cut an episode, right? Then they cut an episode, or was that just for time?
They cut the Gamora Tony Stark episode.
Okay. No, I guess that was just for time, though. That wasn't because it was too similar to Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Multiverse of Madness ones, at this point, you could be like the Ultron one, the Doctor Strange. Because some of the way that the city is melting is exactly the same. And then there's the zombies. So that's three episodes of What If. And then the Ultron one was two episodes, right?
Well, Ultron is one episode that continues for the rest of the series. It's like what they...
Yeah.
The last episode is all of them coming together to fight the threat that was created at the end of that Ultron episode.
And like I said, I went back and tried to look for that animated part of the trailer, and I couldn't find it. Did you find it? What everybody was telling us about? Like, we missed a whole animated section of the trailer?
Oh, yes.
Did you find it?
Yes. It's not a section. It's literally three frames. It's just in the background?
Does it look like the same animation from What If?
No, it looks like Looney Tunes. So, which makes me think... Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It makes me think Spider-Ham.
Oh, well, that would be
like,
funny.
Like, for real. Let me see if I can find that picture real quick.
Who is the voice of that? John Mulaney?
Yes, it was. It was. And I love John Mulaney. I would love...
Me too.
If they get to interact with freaking Spider-Ham as John Mulaney as Spider-Ham, that'd be amazing. Here's a picture of that frame. It's very small. And like, if you watch the trailer, it is literally three frames, I believe, that it's visible.
Ken and I watched the trailer twice and I was like, I don't see it. So I went to watch it. He was like, do not put that on again.
So here's I'm putting it on our video version here. Okay, so that's all it is, but that you see it on the stream yet? It is the star shaped portal they're falling out of.
Oh,
is so it's so subtle. It's only visible for 3 frames.
Looks like a cone.
Yeah, it looks like a traffic cone, and to me that looks kind of Looney Tunes style animation. And that's like just that moment when it's when they're falling into the dinosaur universe.
Right.
They're falling into it, and it's the
look at that star. I can't wait to see America.
I know. It looks so cool. And the way they're representing the multiverse with the stars, but also with like the shattered glass, which is with how they did it with What If as well. I love the imagery they're using for the multiverse. It's so freaking cool.
It's cool.
Oh, I can't believe we're getting a freaking movie this big. Like,
I know. And it's like my Raimi. I can't.
Yeah. I mean, you all know that I love the Marvel stuff, but like before I was even a big Marvel guy, before like the MCU existed, like I've always been a huge fan of multiverse stuff. And I've talked about a lot of the show, but like I grew up watching Star Trek and like all this other sci-fi and Sliders and just the multiverse is just such a cool thing. I love multiverse movies. I love time travel. And the fact that we're getting that concept fully overlaid on the universe that I follow so closely is just so freaking fun for me. Oh, so pumped.
I remember how excited you were when we found out an Endgame was going to be time travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were very excited.
Since then, I found out, and I mentioned this last week, but I didn't get too much into it. Since then, I found out that the in-game time travel story was based on the last episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. Like, that's where they got the idea. Cool. In that episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, they jump around to three different time periods, and it's all about the three different time periods and how they can intersect and solve this problem. It's like three versions of the crew working together across time. And,
oh, cool.
And it's very much in that, in the movie, they like go to three different versions, and it's a way of revisiting the past while wrapping up the story, so you get to see the Avengers versions, the starting versions, while also wrapping it up. It's just a really clever device. And also in the version in the Star Trek episode, they jump to the future, so it's like the present version of Captain Picard, the past version.
Oh, cool.
And then they jump to the future where he like it's very interesting because he has all like a syndrome similar to like Alzheimer's or whatever. But it's a future syndrome, I believe. But it's interesting because the future version of himself has to convince his old friends to like take a ship out because they're all, you know, it's like the distant future and they all are like, maybe he's just crazy. Like maybe he's just off his rocker. Like, and they're all like, well,
we
trust him. He's our friend. And like they all rally around him. And it's like the old crew getting back together to help their old man captain. It's so good. And it kind of like tells what happened to that crew that went out into the future. I don't know. It's so good. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. Okay, let's get to these last couple things. Ed Freeman on the email said, hi, just a quick theory. What if the dimension we see disintegrating is the result of our Doctor Strange's spell or another universe? As he says in the trailer, I did what I had to do to protect our world, not anyone else's. What do you think?
I think he said on another universe. So it's like he did the spell here and then that was affecting another universe to disintegrate?
Yeah, like what if, you know, it kind of makes sense. So you think about all those, like you think about all those characters we saw in the purple in Spider-Man No Way Home, right? Yeah.
Didn't he say that was just a dream he was having every night, though, Doctor Strange?
Well, in the trailer, he says, we don't know what the dream is. We don't know what the dream and what the reality. In the trailer, he says, I have the same dream every night, and then I wake up to this nightmare. And so it's okay. Like, what part is, we don't know which part of those things is the disintegrating cities or whatever.
Yeah. Because all of that looks very dreamlike, like the steps going up to nothing.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But that also looks like any kind of like mystical realm.
Yeah. Doctor Strange's lair, though. Oh, it's so many. It could be anything. I mean, maybe. Yeah. Maybe, Ed. I mean, that's what's kind of fun.
You think about the way No Way Home went, where it's like grabbing characters from other universes and bringing them to this one. Like, mm-hmm. If our universe started just like sucking in elements from other universes, you could kind of see that in the other universe, it might look like things are just like evaporating into nothingness. Because the,
yeah.
And it could theoretically just like be destroying them. So yeah, I think it's possible, but we still, the thing that has me thinking it's not the No Way Home spell, or that it's not going to be something Doctor Strange really did, is the line that Professor X says, let's tell him the truth.
Yes.
Like, what is the truth? I feel like there's going to be a reveal in that scene of like, we're going to think the problem's one thing, and then they show up in front of the Illuminati, and they're going to be like, all right, we got to give you the actual lowdown. You've been fighting this thing you think you're fighting. You think, like, everyone in your universe thinks it's this spell you did, but this is happening across the multiverse. Like, your problems are small compared to what we're trying to deal with, or something like that. And it may not even be anything to do with what he's done. It could be what something from his universe, and that could be Scarlet Witch digging into the Darkhold and, like, trying to reach out into the universe to get her children. Might be destroying worlds. I don't know.
Because, I love that. I like that it's Wanda. Just.
Me too.
Just. Do it.
just do it.
It's hard. Yeah, it's really could be anything. Mm-hmm. And they're doing such a good job of keeping everything secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for their damn toys. Stop releasing the toys until after the movies, you jerks. They'll buy just as many.
Or like send them in nondescript boxes that aren't allowed to be opened until the day. Like the ones that have spoilers. Like you watch, obviously they take such care in the way they market these things. But like, man, I would definitely have some toy plan that like avoids those spoilers. But I get that the way the supply chain works, they can't necessarily keep every box unopened or something. I don't know.
No, but I just put it out after the movie. People will buy that still. I don't understand.
Well, you know? I hear you, but the way the supply line works, like if you don't start shipping them around the world earlier.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like if it takes, because some guy in the shipping warehouse is going to get them, even if they're not in stores yet. It's like, that's where we get these leaks. Like, some guy in a warehouse somewhere is like, oh, I see the new Doctor Strange toy. Click, and then send it out.
Again, if I were a dictator.
The world would be a dangerous place for spoilers and trolls.
You better use your turn signals and watch what you post online.
All right. Up next, we got Abigail Frey on Gmail. Says, hello, MCU cast. I know I missed your feedback episode. Don't worry. We're doing another one right now. As I've been absolutely swamped with schoolwork, but I've been meaning to write in for a while. So though there can be a million different Doctor Stranges, a million different Lokis, and a million different Wandas, and maybe even Mephistos.
There's only one.
There is only one America, and I don't think that Doctor Strange exists in her universe. A bit of motivation for her character is the fall of the utopian parallel and the loss of her moms. And I'm wondering if something Strange did would have caused that, creating a tension point between her and Strange. Or perhaps it's something one of the villains did, giving her a reason to help this random man she found on the street. Additionally, although I love the Rambo theories, am I the only one who thinks that glowing figure is Nova? Like, I know everyone is talking about Young Avengers, and I'm excited to see them. However, I think they may be trying to form the new champions too, with Kamala and Riri Williams on the way. Scott Summers and Miles Morales being teased, and Amadeus Cho's mom already existing in the universe. We already have room for a lot of major teammates. The new Nova is just one more. I love Wanda with all of my heart. I think she is the champion for all of the mentally ill. For many young girls and for people who feel like others just don't understand. I love this podcast and it has really given me a ray of light throughout the tough couple of months and made me feel like less of an outsider in a time that I really needed some reassurance. Thank you for everything you do every day, and I know that my theories are far-fetched, but give me something non-self-deprecating to focus on, and so does your podcast. Just know that this work here really does matter, and I love y'all 3,000. Hey,
aww.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Abigail.
Thank you, Abigail. That's very, very sweet. I like your name, too. Abigail Frey is a great, like...
Oh, that is, like, an action hero name.
Yeah, for sure. Abigail Frey is, like, she's our champion. no, for real, that's very sweet of you.
It is weird with the America Chavez stuff, because she's, like, in a utopian parallel outside of... our own multiverse. Like, she's not part of our stuff. And I remember, I feel like in the comics, she left there to go be a hero because there, like, it was, oh, like, that place was fine. Like, you know, she was like, I have these powers and I'm going to go help people.
Right.
But other than that, I can't remember too much.
I don't know much about her comics heritage. I know she, like she said, she lost her mom's and then she somehow can punch through universes. I don't know much about her power set or really much much about her.
Yeah.
As a character from comics.
I just know she punches star-shaped holes through the multiverse, yeah. And that's pretty badass.
That is very, very badass. But I will say, like, they do tend to combine storylines from these stories to give people sort of simplified backstories sometimes. So if there's some sort of multiverse threat happening, which seems to be going on, we got this like multiverse Illuminati and we have pictures of at least some worlds disappearing or like, you know, evaporating or whatever, like they did in What If. I think it is very possible, if not likely, that they will simplify her storyline a little bit. Maybe she'll still feed from a utopian universe, but maybe it will be one that has been affected by what's going on. So she has to get out there and do what she can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that they're going to go as broad and like introduce a whole new concept of the utopian parallel or whatever.
Yeah.
It's possible. But I don't know.
Some of the D. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I don't know much about her character. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Like, as much as obviously we love the source material and we all grew up on it in different ways, like, you know, we focus on the movies. I actually try not to spoil myself by reading too deeply into the comics because sometimes you can find things that you're like, oh, that's clearly what they're doing. You know
what
I mean?
Did we ever bring up that, you know, she is an outwardly gay character?
I actually didn't even know that. I know that she has two moms. So I knew that her parents were.
No, I believe
were,
that she's a lesbian, which I'm very awesome. Excited to see them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. And that's the thing, I don't know how I haven't even encountered that yet. Like I said, I don't know her from comics at all. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even heard that talked about, which...
I'm going to Google that right now to make sure I'm not wrong. That's something to not be wrong about.
I do think I saw in one of the promos or something, there's a rainbow flag or something on her jacket. Or something somewhere.
Okay. As a lesbian, she is Marvel's first Latin American LGBTQ character to star in an ongoing series.
To star?
Oh, that was for Young Avengers.
Okay. Right. For the comics.
The voice show. Because she has two actresses portray, like the chick who's in this one, and then I think the girl who does her voice acting for whatever.
Oh, okay. On the TV on the show cartoon. Was.
Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha. I was like, is there a live action show we don't know about?
Oh, wait a minute. So yeah, Chavez first appeared in Vengeance 1, September 2011, before joining the Young Avengers and later starring in her own ongoing series, America, in March 2017, by writer Gabby Riviera. Interesting.
Sweet.
I don't know a lot about the younger, newer characters, you know?
I mean, I'm not... I've said this many times. I loved comic books and geek media stuff like when I was a kid, like all these superhero things, but we were poor and didn't have any. I never read one full run of a comic book as a kid. Like all of my comic books were like whatever I could find in the 50 cent bin. And I would like find like six or seven that went together, like six or seven Spider-Man books that went together. And I would read those and be like, oh my gosh, I almost got a whole story. Like that was my childhood.
Like 4 years of X-Men comics in a Tupperware bin that has moved around with me from every place that I've lived.
That's awesome.
Because I read the X-Men. That's why I know so much about the X-Men. But that was about it. And then that kind of stopped as I went to college.
Spider-Man was always one of my favorites. And then I literally, we only bought comics from the 50 cent bin. So it was like, there was a lot of old, like whatever, 80s and 90s comics books when I was a kid that were just in the 50 cent bin.
Yeah.
And then I would also just read like random stuff that was like from other publishers I'd never heard of since.
Yeah. Like, I liked horror comics. Like Chaos Comics and Evil Ed and Lady Death and Purgatory, all this stuff was fun.
Of course you did. I love it. So as for the Nova of it all, it's actually possible it's Nova. Have we talked about that picture you sent me? I don't think we've talked about it on the cast.
About how much it looks like Jonathan Majors?
Yeah. I don't think we've talked about it on the cast, but like since you sent me that, like I feel... Like, I almost feel like that has to be fake, almost, because it looks so much like Jonathan Majors.
Well, a variant of Kang is Iron Lad, right?
Yeah, that it is, but a younger variant, so for sure it's possible. I just think it is possible. So that's one of the theories that I do like, and I think is pretty, I don't know, this picture. I'm going to drop this picture you sent me on the thing. it's like somebody, do we know this is real? Like, it almost looks too much like Jonathan Majors when you zoom in.
I know. I don't know. Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's real or not. But when I look at the stills, if you go to images, you know, it checks out. It doesn't look too doctored.
Yeah. Okay. I'm dragging it out of the video version now. This is like pretty convincing to me. That looks a lot like Jonathan Majors.
It really does.
Like the high res zoomed in version of that character that people are debating who it is. It could be someone else. And the hips look kind of feminine, but that could just be the way the suit looks. Because a lot of people are saying it's a lady, and it could be.
It could be.
The hair looks different, but it could be a variant. I don't know. That he looks similar to Jonathan Majors to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like it to be, because I'd like everything to tie together.
Me too. And I mean, this should tie to Kang. Like, I know he's supposed to be coming in Quantumania, but like, Kang is our multiverse guy. Like, he remains of it all, man. I want to know. So that's my best bet as to who it is. And if you are watching the video version, you can see that picture I just dropped on the feed. It looks like Kang to me. I don't know who it does.
Unless that is edited and doctored.
Right. Yeah. And it absolutely could be, because it supposedly is just from somebody taking a screenshot on really high res and zooming in. But who knows?
We'll have to do it at the next trailer.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there'll be another one.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll probably watch it on stream. I'm at this point, I don't want to know anymore. I'm like,
I know.
Last one, Tavares Davis on Gmail says, "What's up, gang? My name is Tavares. I have been listening to the show since No Way Home. I have listened to every show since and most of the older episodes." Wow. "I love the takes you all have, and you constantly provide a bright spot to my days whenever I see new content. I just recently took interest in all of the speculation on how this phase will unfold and the many cameos that are rumored for Mom. I jumped out of my seat when I heard Patrick freaking Stewart's voice in the final trailer. I was looking at the poster in search of Deadpool, the Deadpool image, which I found, but I also potentially stumbled across someone else. If you look closely, there is an image that looks like Storm. I do know that she and T'Challa have a child together in the comics, but I'm not sure what her part would be in this film. Like many, I can't wait to see how the X-Men are brought into the MCU. I would love to know what you all think. Also, the countdown to Moon Knight begins.
I mean, I would love. Storm's one of my absolute favorite Marvel characters. Like, Aurora Monroe's my just the best. I almost feel like they probably had the T'Challa Storm storyline for Black Panther 2, because I heard a lot of rumors about that, but I don't know in what capacity that's going to happen now with everything. I do hope that they bring her in still, but it wouldn't make sense for her character to be introduced in Wakanda, I don't think. For her to be in this, well, anybody could be in this. You know, it could have been
trusted advisor of Charles Xavier. And so, like, absolutely, she could be there as Charles Xavier's partner, or, you know, she could be there protector. As a leader. That's true. Or like a leader from, like, a leader of the X-Men from another universe, you know, like where she took over for Charles.
She was the leader of the X-Men for a while.
Yeah. So, absolutely could be that. I like the idea of bringing her in for sure. She would be a really cool and interesting take, like, because we're all like, who will be first? Like, who? Obviously, Charles Xavier is first we've seen, like, speak, if we don't count Ralph Boner.
Ralph Boner?
Speaking of Ralph Boner, do you think they're going to retcon that was Quicksilver or some version of Quicksilver, some version of her brother? Like, we know we're going back to Westview. In the trailer, she goes back to her house in Westview. Like, I feel like that is pretty likely.
It's also magic. So even if Agatha just was like, I'm creating this thing, it doesn't mean that she didn't pull it from a different multiverse, not even knowing her own powers.
Right. Well, up at that point, she didn't know what she was doing, period. Like, she didn't know what the like, there were clearly moments, like, in the moment where she, like, throws Monica out of the house. There's clearly moments where she's lucid and, like, knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she doesn't know that she's creating these people. She doesn't know that she's enslaving a town and all that stuff. And she doesn't know they're in pain. And so it would make sense that she doesn't know she's pulling from a different universe and that Ralph Boner is a complete fabrication or whatever.
Because it just sounds like a made-up name. I mean, I know all names are made up, but...
Oh, man. Okay, so let's see. Anybody in the chat have anything fun to say?
Vermillion One said, my guess is the next big crossover will be a long time coming Avengers versus X-Men. And I think all of this is not filler, but universe progression that gives us the characters to care about for that. I would agree if they didn't already say that Fantastic Four was coming first. I think we are building to a
X-Men. They say that? I mean, they've announced a Fantastic Four film, but we don't know for sure that it's first. Or we definitely don't. I thought
that was like Phase Four was going to be Fantastic Four.
So they've announced a Fantastic Four film. That's all we know. That doesn't mean they're not going to announce other films that might slot in between. It also doesn't mean that some of these other films might include mutants. Clearly, Multiverse of Madness is. So, you know, it could be that, like, there's. It could be every movie from now till Fantastic Four introduces different X-Men, you know? Like, we could get X-Men from now on, or at least mutants, and then they form the X-Men at some point. So it could be that, like, it seems that we're getting at least an X-Man before we're getting a Fantastic Four, unless we get them at the same time, which is also very possible that Fantastic Four will show up in this movie.
Well, if Reed Richards isn't on the Illuminati, I'm going to be pretty pissed if that's who it is, you know? It'd be like, ugh, what a good way to... introduce these people. Would also be fun to have them have been trapped in the quantum realm and Ant-Man finds them and releases them the same way that Janet was.
Yeah.
And that's how they got their powers, if you don't want to go to the moon or wherever they went with Dr. Doom.
So it's so fun and imaginative how far we've gone with the MCU, like what all they're doing. It's crazy.
I know.
We also have one from Vermilion One here that says, I was a major X-Men and TNG fan, and the crossover book and comics came out before the X-Men movie. And those made the connection that Picard and Professor X were basically the same person in both universes. I know this will never happen, but we only have Patrick Stewart for so long. Just some kind of wink toward this notion from either end would send my mind reeling. That would be real rad. Okay, guys. Well, that is all from us today. We will be back very soon. Make sure to send in mcucast@gmail.com. Send in your favorite female moments from Marvel movies, the MCU, and we'll talk about that next week.
Yep. Put, what did we say? Put in the thing, awesome women, in your subject line so it's easy to find.
Yeah. Awesome women in the subject line. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.